Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hi, Pastor Bill here, and I want to ask you to be praying for us as we are with the couples of the Refuge Couples Retreat out in the desert. We're probably in about 110 degree heat, but I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit is falling upon us. So please be praying for us that God would do great work in our marriages. But you know what? God is raising up in this generation some strong young voices, and there are great ministries popping up all over Orange County. And one of them is pastored by Pastor Tommy Cota. And he's the pastor of Hope Alive over in Santa Ana. Tommy was with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa for a number of years and has launched out in a brand new church plant over there. He's going to come and share the Word of God with you. This last Wednesday, we gathered out here on the lawn at Refuge, and we heard from a man who I think really is kind of a modern-day apostle, Pastor Paul, as an apostolic name. And he brought us a stirring message to just get out there and get the work done. Today, you're going to hear from another apostolic name, Thomas. Tommy Cota. He's going to bring a powerful word to you. So would you please welcome Tommy as he comes to bring you the Word of God. God bless you all.
Well, I just want to thank you guys just for receiving us. My family and I, we had the privilege of being here last night and with my wife and my kids. They're not here. My daughter's here with me today, but my wife, you know, she's, you know, it's a brand new church plant that we got, as Pastor Bill said, over there in the city of Santa Ana. And so my wife is over there helping out with the kids. And so she's like, I got to go with the kids. I'm like, okay, go with the kids, you know. And I'm going to have fun over here at Refuge here in Huntington Beach. And so it's a pleasure to be here. You know, just I kind of wanted to share a little bit of how, you know, how this came about. Because I'm still kind of in shock that I get to be a pastor leading a church there in Santa Ana. Like, I'm tripping out, you know what I mean? Like, wow. You know, because first of all, I'm not even from Orange County. I grew up and was born and raised in Los Angeles County. And, you know, and as a result of, you know, just not because of where I live, but just the kind of stuff I was getting involved in a young age, you know, with drugs and a party life and, you know, just being very rebellious in my young age and everything. Eventually, when I started going to jail, I started going to prison and getting involved with gangs and all these other things and inside the you know, county jails and prison, state prisons and everything. And the next thing you know, what happened is that was my life. You know, I was just living like that. And in the year 1998, my wife didn't grow up. She didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything like that either. However, in 1998, because of some family members that were going to church, she went to a church with some of her family members, and she got saved. She accepted Christ as her Savior, and so in 1998 she got saved. In 1998, I was in state prison. And so she was praying. It was, you know, last night someone had come up to her and said, oh, you know, so for 2 whole years you were just praying for your husband and, you know, standing the gap for your husband and everything. And I like what my wife said. She's like, not really. I was just praying for me. You know, Lord, give me the strength to deal with this guy. Lord, help me. Give me the wisdom and the discernment and what I need to just go through this, you know, with this guy. And Lord, he belongs to you. And so that was her prayer for 2 whole years. And so in the year 2000, January 19th of 2000, that's when I paroled from prison. So I was released out of prison January 19th of 2000. And so when I come home January 19th of 2000 and I see my wife, she was completely different. You know, she looked the same and everything, but her heart was different. Her behavior and the stuff that she had interest in now was different. Her interest was being at church. Her interest was, you know, just talking about God and listening to, you know, Jesus and the preaching and the Bible studies and all this other stuff. And so I was kind of tripping out on that too. I was like, who are you? What happened? You know? There was a six-month period from, you know, January 19th until June where there was a lot of stuff that was going on in my own personal life. There was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of hurt. Sorrow, just all these different emotions that I was going through inside my own life. And so, and as a result of it, I was going to drugs. I was going to living out there on the streets. When I mean living out there in the streets, I wasn't homeless, but I was just living that street life, if you will. And so what had happened was that I actually, you know, my house had gotten raided. The house that we were living in got raided. My parole agent was looking for me, so I was on the run from the police. My house is over here getting raided. Things were just going crazy, right? And so my family wasn't too happy with me, especially my wife. You know, she was like, I didn't know this, but she tells me this after I got saved. And she says, you know, Tommy, you know what I was praying during that time, during that season, during those couple of months? And I was like, no, what was your prayer? She says, my prayer was, God, would you get him out of my life? I'm like, man, you know, I was like, thanks a lot, you know. Well, what happened is that, you know, so there was all this stuff was going on, you see, and this is all the hurt and all the stuff that I was putting my wife through and everything. And so there was this church that she was going to, you know, and so I would say, well, I'll go to your church with you, you know. So we go to this church, and the next thing you know, my whole thought, my whole plan was, this was a very small church, right? Right smack in the hood too, right? And so this church that we were going to, very small, there was a chair, there was seats that were right next to the exit, right? Right next to the door. And so I was like, okay, as soon as I get my chance, I'm gonna walk out of this place and go across the street, because there's a liquor store right there across the street. I'll buy myself a 40-ouncer. She'll be at church listening to, you know, this Bible study. Everything will be over. I'll be happy. She'll be happy. One big happy family. Okay, let's go home, right? Well, that was my plan on that day, June 11th, when I walked into that church. However, it didn't work that way. It didn't unfold that way. God had a different plan. Amen? I love God's plans. They're awesome. You know, they're good. And so as I'm sitting there, that was my mind. And then I actually sat down. I didn't escape. I didn't leave out of this church, right? And so I sat down, and I'm starting to listen. And for the very first time in my life, I'm listening to the gospel message with the ears of my heart. It was a trip. You know, do you remember and recall that very first moment when you first heard the gospel message with the ears of your heart, and you're like, wow, what's going on? And so I'm sitting there, you know, remember, I'm on parole, my parole agent's looking for me, my house had just gotten raided that I was living in, you know, just a couple weeks prior to that, people were upset with me, I was confused, I was tripping myself, you know, I was at this point in my life like, you know, this is it, this is my life. I don't know anything else. I don't have any education. I don't know, have any trade, nothing. This is all I know, you know? And I was like, okay, well, mi vida loca, you know, whatever. You know, my crazy life, this is it, right? And so, but I was hurting on the inside. And so here I am for the first time listening to this gospel message being preached. And it was like I had this big giant coconut in my throat. And my eyes just were flooded with tears. You know, I didn't want to cry. I wasn't going to, you know, blink, because I didn't want tears to run down my face. I'm like, here I am, you know, this guy, you know, I was living my life in one certain direction, and there is no change out there for me, that no one loves me or whatever kind of thing. You know, I was like, I was hardened in my heart, you know, and I was confused and lost, and I knew it at this point. And so I remember the pastor was speaking and preaching and saying whatever. I don't remember the context of the message, but I do remember this. Pastor saying, whatever you've done in your life, God loves you anyways, and he wants to forgive you, and he wants to make things brand new. He still loves you, no matter what you've done. And I remember thinking, man, I've done a lot though, God. It was like God was like, are you listening? But God, I've done a lot, man. I was not a good husband. You know, I was not a good daddy. I was not a good brother. I was not a good son. I was not a good friend. You know, I just wasn't. I was horrible. I was horrible at all those things. Very selfish is what it was, you see. Well, God said, I love you anyways. And I remember there was this invitation and the opportunity to just acknowledge Jesus' love and to come and receive the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ in your life. And there, this invitation was like, okay, well, if that's what you want, if you want God to forgive you, if you want, you know, Jesus to change your life, just stand up right there where you are. And I remember I stood up. I'm like, why am I standing? You know, I stood up and I took these steps forward, you know, and I remember it was like really effortlessly, like, you know, like my body just did this, you know, but I was so anticipating this change. And I remember I never said a sinner's prayer or nothing like that, but I do remember saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. And just repeating, God, I'm sorry. And every single time as I would say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. It was like this image or this picture or this, you know, this thing that I did in my past. And God was like pressing the, like he would highlight it, you know, on the computer and highlight it. I'm sorry, delete. Okay, highlight another one. I'm sorry, delete. You know, he was deleting all the dirt, all this stuff, all this sin, all this stuff in my life. And I remember I walked out of that building just a different person. You know, I was like, wow, what do I do now, right? Well, my parole agent, he knew what he wanted to do, right? But by a series of circumstances and things, my parole agent actually gave me an opportunity. He said, okay, well, you can choose. You want to go back to prison and do a violation, or you can do your violation and go to a men's home, go to a Christian men's home, one that my wife had chosen, right? And so, you know, and previously, if this was like maybe 6 or 8 months prior to this, I probably would have said, you know what, send me back to prison, man, because I know how to live my life in prison. I know how to get my hustle on in prison. I know how to get drugs in prison. I know how to make my own wine in prison. Don't ask me how, because I'm not going to tell you. Well, you know, but, you know, it's like I knew how to behave. I knew how to, you know, get what I needed in prison. And I, you know, doing prison time was easy for me. You know, it's kind of crazy. Tommy, you would actually choose to go back to prison. That's how lost I was. That's how lost I was. And so in this time, I was like, no, I'll try. I want to go to this program. And so I go to the program. It was a Christian men's program. And it was there in that place where I discovered the richness and the treasure of God's word. It was there in that place, because I remember there was this guy, he would come and just, you know, start doing Bible studies, and I was like asking all kinds of questions, and he was like, man, you have a lot of questions. I said, yeah. And so he gave me a notebook and a pencil. He said, here, write down your question, because you're taking too much time here. So I would write down all these questions, you know, and he would spend time with me, and the next thing you know, I'm just discovering the richness and the treasure of God's word, and getting more involved in it, and falling in more in love with the Lord, and more in love with his word. And so, you know, it's time I finished that program. It was a 6-month program. I finished that program, and, you know, and the next thing you know, I discovered on the radio K-Wave. Do you remember? Can you recall when you the very first time you discovered that radio station, 107.9, all the way at the end of your diet? Remember that? I was like, where has this radio station been? When did this get here? This is a brand new station. It wasn't brand new, but to me, it was new. I remember that, hey, have you checked out this station? It's cool, you know, past K-Rock, past Power 106, you know, and all these things, you know, they're like, oh, wow, you know. So anyways, to me, it was brand new. And so I'm listening to K-Wave, you know, just getting involved and listening to, man, Bible studies 24/7. That's crazy, right? So I was just listening to all these pastors and all these teachers and all the commercials and everything, and how they would have, you know, they would talk about Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, obviously with Pastor Chuck, and I was like, man, I gotta go to this church. Let's go and check this place out, right? And so my wife and I go, come on, let's go to Orange County. My wife, go to Orange County. Okay, let's go to Orange County, check out this church. And I'll never forget the very first time I walked onto that campus there at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. We got off the car, and we're walking, and I remember I started holding my wife's hand a little tighter. And I was like, I started looking around kind of slowly, right? I was like, babe, we don't belong here. I'm getting nervous right now, right? It's like, if my parole agent sees me here, he's going to violate me, man, you know? But seriously, he probably would have, because I was out of L.A. County and in Orange County, but I was going to church, though, okay? So anyways, we get there. My wife says, hey, we're here for the word. We're here for the word of God. I said, you're right. So we continue to go. You know, and then shortly thereafter, you know, getting the announcements of, you know, and just looking at the bulletins and getting all the stuff, you know, and just, well, they have a school of ministry. What is that? I don't know. So let's go and check this. So I applied to go to the school of ministry, and that's what I did. And so I get there to the school of ministry, not knowing what the school of ministry was really going to be all about. And I thought it was just going to be a bunch of Bible studies all day long. Wrong. Well, anyways, God used that place, the school of ministry. I finished that. God used it in my life to really just, you know, give me a deeper passion. And the next thing you know, some opportunities arose to get involved in the community, to get involved in service, to get involved in, and you know, hey, who wants to help out and serve and do the ministry, and we need some help, and you know, there I am, I'll do it, I'll volunteer, I'll go. And this, the ministry that I volunteered to do was called, a ministry called Release Time Christian Education. Maybe you're familiar with it. And it's a Release Time Christian Education is a ministry where we would go into the public schools, which we still do. We go into the public schools and we share the gospel message with a group of kids. And so here I am, not knowing what to expect and not knowing, okay, we're in Orange County, how bad can it be, you know? It's Orange County, you know, it's Disneyland's here and stuff, you know, cool. You know, well, we get there and we're driving down, and all of a sudden, as we get about a half a mile or a mile into the city of Santa Ana, where the school district is, where we do this outreach at, right? I'm starting to like discover, like, wow, trip out on this place. We're in the hood, man. You know, this is straight smack in the hood right here. And so I was like, I like this place. This is cool. And so we drive, you know, you see graffiti on the walls and everything. You feel at home, right? Well, I was kind of, you know, just amazed at what I was like, wow, because I'd never been in Santa Ana. I never really cruised the streets or anything like that. You know, I didn't know what it was like. I didn't know what to expect. And so here we are, and I'm driving around, and we get to this spot, you know, and all of a sudden these kids, these fourth and fifth grade kids, they come running out of the school. Now, they weren't escaping, you know. They're like, get out of here, you know. They were running out of the school. They were being escorted by one of the teachers there, and they were just running to the camp, to the school, to these little buses and trailers that we had that were, you know, just like a chapel on wheels, if you will. And they were just so excited to show up, and they run up, and they didn't even know who I was, and they're like, teacher, teacher, you know, that's what they say, teacher, teacher. And I was like, what, man, I'm not your teacher, what, you know. And they say, hey, I know my memory verse. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what it is, go ahead. And they start reciting a memory verse. Every single one of them start reciting this memory verse. And they're doing it with joy. They're doing it with passion. And they're excited. And they're like high-fiving me and everything. And then they get onto the trailer of the bus. And they hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're excited. Fourth and fifth grade kids. And the next thing you know, I'm like, this was amazing. I want to help out with this again. So I started volunteering my time faithfully to that ministry. Well, the next thing you know, in the end of 2004, 05, right around that time, I got on staff there at the church of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. And in 2005, I became a pastor there at the church. And I had the privilege of overseeing the ministry called Hands of Hope, which one of the ministries and stuff that we do is Release Time Education and ministering out also in the city of Santa Ana with our homeless ministry. And what we started doing is we started doing a lot of outreaches at schools and concerts and going to the local parks and having outreaches and, you know, having medical teams and dental teams come out to the city parks and stuff. We would just do things there in the community in the city of Santa Ana. And then in 2007, 2008, we moved into Santa Ana because I felt like the Lord wants us to be there, you know, so let's just move to Santa Ana. And so we moved in the city of Santa Ana, started serving and getting to know the community even that much more. And God was opening up doors and, you know, and being on staff there at Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa and you know, just overseeing this ministry of Hands of Hope. And, you know, God was doing some amazing things and he's continuing. Amen. And so the end of last year, probably at maybe the end of August to September, something like that. You know, I remember I was in right before Pastor Chuck had passed, and you know, went with the Lord. I walked into Pastor Brian's office, and we were talking. We were just talking about some stuff, and then he asked me a question. Hey, Tommy, so what's going on over there in Santa Ana with that one particular thing or something like that? And I started sharing my heart with them. I was like, oh, hey, check this out, man. The Lord's opening up this door, and we're doing this, and you know, we're doing, you know, that thing and this outreach, and God is opening up this door with the city, and it's just amazing things, you know. And so Pastor Brian, you know, he's my pastor, I love him. And he said, you know, if you know him, he's like, kind of just looks, you know, he looked up like into the space or something like that, I don't know. And he's like, you know, and I was like, oh, here it comes, you know, what, I don't know. And he says, you need to start a church there in the city of Santa Ana. you know, God's doing this and doing that. Start a church in the city of Santa Ana and you know, stay here at Calvary Chapel here and oversee Hands of Hope during the week and do that church and do this. And I'm like, you know, I was like, okay. I just told him, okay. And I walked out of the, you know, his office, and I'm like, what just happened? What does this mean? You know, so anyways, obviously, you know, the Lord was opening up some more doors. And so what happened is that we, you know, last Friday of the month, I have this breakfast thing that I go to with a group of guys that are in the city, you know, from the school board members of city of Santa Ana and some other, you know, some other individuals. And there's about six or seven of us. And we get together and we have this prayer breakfast early in the morning, right? And so we're praying, and I tell the guys, I say, hey, guys, would you pray, man? God's opening up some doors, you know, for us to start a church in the city of Santa Ana, but we don't have a location yet. And so I pray that God would just show us and guide us and lead us to have that perfect place to have the church, you know? And so we're like, all right. So they prayed, and afterwards, a friend of mine, his name is Dennis Cole, he's like, bro, you know, he hits me in my shoulder. He's bro. I'm like, bro, what? You know? And he says, man, use my school. He's a principal at a school in the city of Santa Ana. And he says, dude, use my school, man. You know, we have a perfect place. And so I go, all right, well, I'll go down to your school today. So we showed up to his school and we looked at the facility. I said, man, this would be perfect. This would be great. So he's the principal at a school called Mendez Intermediate, which is on the corner of Bristol and 17th Street in the city of Santa Ana. And so everything worked out, and our very first Sunday service was February 16th of this year. It was our very first service. Man, we were so excited. You know, we didn't know what to expect. I've never planted a church before. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what, you know, it's like, man, all right, here we go. Lord said, show up. So I showed up, right? And so we were kind of praying and kind of like projecting, okay, maybe, you know, with all of our family and friends and people, we'll probably have, you know, around 100 people show up. And so we prepared for that. We actually put out about 120 chairs out, you know, just in case, right? So as we're there and we're worshiping and things are going and everything, man, I see the guys that are helping us out, you know, they went in behind the stage and they're rolling out this big giant rack of chairs. I'm like, what are they doing that for? And so I kind of, you know, right before I peek over my shoulder, man, the place was packed. You know, the Lord brought over 500 people to church on that day. Yeah. It was all the Lord. Talk about tripping out, right? I was like, I turned, I was like, oh man, I told my wife, look at all those people, where'd they come from? You know, what are they doing here? You know, so I was like, so I got so nervous, you know, I didn't know what to say, and I just went up there, I was like, hi, you know? But, you know, it's just been a great thing just to see God's hand at work, you know, and God opening up all these doors and the Lord just doing some amazing things. Just about a month ago, I had the privilege, I was contacted by a city council member there in the city of Santa Ana. He said, hey, can we have some lunch? And so we went out and had some lunch and we're just talking and he says, you know, what we want to do is we want to invite you to City Hall and on this particular date, because what we want to do as a city, in this all of City Hall, mayor and everybody, is we want to acknowledge we want to acknowledge your church and what's going on here in Santa Ana through Hope Alive, and we just think it's amazing. Would you accept this invitation? And I said, yeah, sure, okay. You know, and so we went and you know, the Lord started showing me. And on that day that we were there, it was like the Lord spoke and he says, Tommy, it's like you are at the city gates right now, you know, and you get to proclaim what I'm doing here in the city of Santa Ana. So that's what we did. You know, they presented us as a church with a certificate of acknowledgement and recognition and everything in front of all of City Hall, you know, it was packed in there. And it was just a great joy and just really neat to see. And then as I turned, you know, the mayor on that day was like, okay, hey, Pastor Coda. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, this comes with strings attached. And now I'm like, oh, man, I knew it, you know. I knew it. No, he says, and this is what he says. He says, listen, now that you're here and we are expecting, we would love for your church, Hope Alive, to make a great impact in the city of Santa Ana. So whatever we can do to assist you, let us know. And I was like, wow, Lord. I was like, you got it, sir. You know, we're here, so I'll let you know. So I had a big, long list for him the very next day, what we need, you know. We need a building. We need this. We need that. No, I'm just teasing. You know, we're letting the Lord lead us and guide us. But it's just amazing to see how, you know, this is all God. And he's choosing to use, you know, me for this, us for this, you know, the group of people he's called to serve there at Hope Alive. And God's doing some amazing things. Please keep us in prayer. And you can, you know, check us out on, you know, hopealivesantaana.com and maybe get some of the things that we need prayer for and all that stuff. But we're just so excited, you know, just to see what the Lord's doing. But, you know, and also, we're going through the book of Acts, you know, on Sunday mornings. And a few weeks ago, I was going through this, and I just kind of want to share this here this morning. So if you have your Bibles, like I know you do, please open them to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. And Father, as we open up your treasure, as we open up your word, Father, I pray that you would just speak to us, Lord, through your word, and that we would be encouraged and exhorted, Father, as we consider and worship you, Lord, with our minds, as we study your word here for a moment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, so in chapter 9, now, you know, I'm sure all of us, most of us, a lot of us have an understanding and we know what's going on here in chapter number 9. It's a really cool portion of scripture here. It's the portion of scripture where Saul of Tarsus, he has this encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, Saul of Tarsus, we know, is the Apostle Paul as well. And so here, but before he's the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And we were first introduced to him in chapter number 7 when he had this, when he was there with Stephen, when Stephen was being martyred. And remember when Stephen was being martyred, not only was Saul there, but other religious leaders and scribes and Stephen was sharing, you know, just giving a history lesson, if you will, to the children of Israel. And it says that the men, the people, they were just infuriated. They had this rage, you know. Kill him, you know, shut him up. We don't like what he's saying. And so what they did is they all laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. You see, so he was, that's when we're first introduced to Saul of Tarsus. And so Saul was a man of influence. He was a man of position. And he was also a man who had an agenda. He had an evil mission to go and attempt to snuff out the people or Christians and to put a stop of the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? So as we go through this, let's try to put our, you know, just with our mind's eye, kind of picture this, if you will. So here's Saul. He's got this, you know, this rage in him. And it says this, then Saul, again, let's watch. It says, he's still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And so he's looking for people. He's on the hunt for individuals who are people who are of the way. I like that how Christians and believers were referred to as people who were of the way. You know, because that really says a lot to us about, you know, it's not just something that we do. We're of that. That's just the way they live. I am a Christian. I am a believer. It's the way I live. This is my lifestyle. It's the way that they live. You know, and this is a thing to where you and I, where we can all take a second, you know, what's the way you live? Well, that's just the way they are, Tommy. That's just the way she is, or that's just the way he is. Is it godly? Is it Christ-like? Is it exemplifying godliness? Great. And well, if not, you know, well, that's just the way they are at church. You know, we probably all have our Christian faith. You know, we know how that looks in here. You know, we all go through that. We all go through those seasons. But it's not about when we come in here. It's about when we're out there. You know, can people identify you as of the way when we're out there in this world? When you're out there in your own homes? When you're out there at your workplace? When you're with your friends and your neighbors and the people around you, when you're just around strangers and you're going to the supermarket, you know, can they identify and just observe you for a moment and say, oh, he's that way. He's of the way. He's a Christian or she's a believer. They love Jesus. There's something different about them. You see, and so here's Saul, he's on his journey and he's got this mission. He has this agenda to capture people and to bring them bound back to Jerusalem. And so here he is. Now, you know, just think of it, how this his mindset was, you know, maybe thinking of all the stuff that Stephen was saying. And, you know, he's riding on this dirt road, you know, and just dust flying everywhere, face dirty and he's sweaty and, you know, just knuckles gripping the straps here. And just, you know, he's got this ugly face, mad dog look on his face, you know, and everything. He's just going for it. And all, well, watch this. It says this. And as he journeyed, verse number three, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Watch this. And suddenly, just like that, suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. A light. And then he fell to the ground and he heard a voice. Just all of a sudden, just like that. Here he is. He's on this mission. He has this agenda. He's filled with rage. He's got anger. And he's going in one direction in life. You know, he's got this mission and this idea of how he wants to live his life. And he's going for it. It ain't no stopping him, right? Just get out of his way. You know, there he is. And all of a sudden, just like that. How many of us can identify with that? You know, it's like there we were. Just all of a sudden, we were living our life one way. We were living our life in sin and in darkness, in rebellion towards God, and just, you know, very selfish and doing the things that we want to do. And then all of a sudden, we hear the gospel message. All suddenly, it just happened that way. You see, and what happens is that we all of a sudden hear it with the ears of our hearts. And God grabs a hold of us, and it's the presence of God here for Saul. And what happened? What does he do? He falls down. And what a great position to be in, because to me, it's just like when we're on our knees, when you're laid out before the Lord, isn't that a great position of humility and adoration that you and I can give to Jesus Christ? Here I am, and total, complete submission to you. You are King. My knee is bowed before the Almighty God of heaven. And here, this is what's going on here with Saul. He falls down suddenly, just like that. He fell to the ground and he hears the voice, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I love that portion of here of scripture where Jesus says this to Saul, because what Jesus is saying, he's identifying himself with the church. He's identifying himself with the church, because it wasn't Saul that was going to Jesus and saying, "Hey, I'm going to beat you up." Or nah, he's like, he's doing this to the church. He's doing this to believers. And Jesus is identifying himself with the church, with us. We are the body of Christ, you see. And Jesus identifies himself with us. And you and I should be identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. When people see us, who is it that we really want them to see? Not us, right? Because we know how messed up we are. Can I get an amen? Right? We all know how messed up. We want people to see Jesus. I want my wife to see the Lord in my heart, in my life, you know? I want my family to see Jesus. I want them to sense his presence, not mine. I want to decrease that he might increase, right? And we'll see, and that, so that's the same thing. We should be identifying with Christ because he identifies with us. And then Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew who it was, right? And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." You know, essentially what Jesus is saying, "Man, Saul, you need to stop this. Stop being a knucklehead. Stop being in rebellion. Stop having this rage and this confusion and this hate, because it's taking you in a direction that's not what I have for you. And you know better, Saul." You remember Saul, he was a Pharisee. He was someone who knew the scriptures. He wasn't just some guy who says, "Okay, I don't like these people. Let's go get them." You know? He knew better. He knew the scriptures. You see? And so here Jesus is communicating this to him. And then it says that as he's trembling and he's there, he is, and he's like, "Okay, Lord," he asked the question there in verse number 6, "What do you want me to do? Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to live? I don't know what else to do. This is all I knew, Lord. This was all I knew. I thought I knew everything, but I don't know anything now. I discover this. What is it that you want me to do? I love that portion. That's the best question anybody can ever ask of the Lord, is, God, what do you want me to do? And I think we can all, again, identify with this, because at one point in life, you and I, we were so far from the Lord and in rebellion to God and just living in darkness and in sin and doing the things that we wanted to do, that there was no stopping us until the Lord gets our attention. Until the Lord says, hello, why are you doing this? I love you. You don't got to do this. And then we bow our knee and there we are before the Lord, just humbled and broken before God. And it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm glad you asked, that Jesus would say, right? And you see, and here's the thing. What Jesus says here, the Lord said to him, as Saul is asking this question, he says real simply, arise and go into the city. You know, I have to stop right there because I like that. I like the city. And as I was looking at this, I was like, man, arise and go into the city of downtown Santa Ana. All right, Lord, go into the city, go into the hood, you know? That's just for me, I guess, you know? I just like, I enjoy that part. But here, he's telling Saul, arise and go into the city. Go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do. And there you will hear of the things that I want you to do. Go into the city. I want you to go to that place. And as I look around here at Refuge, and I'm just seeing so many faces and so many people, some I know and some I don't. Most I don't. But the thing is that, you know, when the Lord grabbed the hold of your life, and he's made an impact. There's been a transformation. You know, when Jesus comes into our life, just like here with Saul, something happens, a revolutionary change takes place, which results in a radical change of behavior, right? A change happens. And this radical change happens so radically and so wonderfully for the sake of Jesus and for his love. There's a change in our behavior. It's no longer, okay, I know what I want to do. It's now, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as Jesus has called you here to Refuge, it's almost as if Jesus is saying to you, is saying to you here today, I want you to go to Refuge. And when you get there, you'll be told what you must do. You'll understand some opportunities. You'll hear of things that you can get involved in. You can be a weird animal because these kids need to hear you. And they need to see you. You know, for you might be thinking, but I don't teach kids. Trust me, if 15 years ago, 16 years ago, if somebody would have said, Tommy, there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to be enjoying talking to a bunch of fourth and fifth graders and acting silly and making voices and talking to them all about Jesus by making, you know, weird facial expressions and weird noises out of your mouth and just having fun with all these kids, you know, if you said that to me 15 or 16 years ago, you would have been with me in prison. And first of all, you know, you just don't talk like that in prison, right? Right? But that's what I get to do. I get to do those things, you see. God does this revolutionary change, and God does it in our hearts where maybe he does want you to be that weird animal talking to kids about Jesus, or maybe he wants you to go out to Bolsa Chica Beach and grab a surfboard, you know, and maybe, I don't know how to swim. Well, get floaties. Don't worry about it, you know. Maybe Jesus wants to use you there. You know, or maybe Jesus wants you to get some interest and get some understanding of what's going on over there in Vietnam. Or maybe Jesus is saying, hey, you know what? I want you, and I'm calling you, I want you to go on a short-term mission trip to the Philippines. I want you to do this. I want you to go and, you know, out there and help out with the parking lot. You know, go wear that orange vest, you know, be proud of it. I want you, you see, here's the thing is that when you are here, God will show you. See, guys, listen. Being a Christian, being a believer in Jesus Christ just doesn't mean we walk through these doors and like, all right, you know, and okay, who's speaking today? Put $1 there, $1 there. Let's get some coffee. All right, let's bounce. Nah. It's not about that. That's not a Christian. That's not what a believer does. That's not a revolutionary change of government that takes place in our heart that results in a change of our behavior. Nah, that's not it at all. It's about us coming, receiving. Lord, what do you have for me here this morning? Man, I want to worship you, Jesus. I want to hear from you, Lord. And as you come with that attitude, with that kind of anticipation of God speaking to you that way, man, you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that God wants you to be that weird animal. You're going to know that God wants you to be out there in the parking lot, but it's summertime. So what? God wants me to be out there. You know, you're just going to know that this is God's hand on you. You see, and that's what takes place here with Saul. And you know, he hears from the Lord. And, you know, later on we find that Ananias is, you know, God is saying, hey, Ananias, I want you to help out this guy. And Ananias is like, oh, Lord, wait a minute. Time out. You know who Saul is? You know, he's been killing us. Hello, you know. And Jesus says, no, don't worry about it. Don't trip, Saul or Ananias. You know, again, I don't think Jesus said don't trip, but, you know, still, he's like, hey, don't worry about it. I got it under control. He's the chosen vessel of mine, and I'm going to show him the things that I want him to do, and I'm going to show him the things that he's going to suffer for my namesake. You see, none of us, we're not immune to suffering. We're not immune to going through it, but God's going to get us through, and God wants to use us. God wants to use you here at Refuge. He wants to use you in Vietnam. He wants to use you in the Philippines. He wants to use you with the children's ministry. He wants to use you, you know, here with the parking lot ministry. He wants to use you when you go home in your cars and you have your families. He wants to use you. Put Jesus on your lips. Put the gospel message on your heart and on your lips and preach Jesus, because when Jesus is on your lips and the gospel message is on your heart and with passion, you're just sharing that, God's hand will be upon you. God's hand will be upon you. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through stuff. We are. But God's hand will be upon you. God wants to use you. Amen?
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.